Amen. It's good to be back with you today. Welcome back. We're going to be in Mark chapter 14 today. Mark chapter 14. So however you prefer, you can be turning in your Bibles there. Like I said, it's good to be back, and appreciate Brother Tim and Brother Kevin filling in as I was gone. Mark 14, so if you haven't been here in a while, we're just kind of walking through the book of Mark. We're getting close to the end, but we still have a few weeks here before we are done. The unimaginably difficult plan that God had to redeem the world is unfolding here in these last few chapters. Last time we were here, it's been a few weeks, but we saw two different responses to Jesus the servant. Remember, the first was worship, and that was the response from Mary, the sister of Lazarus, and Martha. Mary most likely offered her dowry, which was property she would have inherited to give to her future husband on their wedding day. And so it was a symbol of security, right down to the expensive alabaster jar that it was kept in. And yet she still broke the jar, assuring that there would be no keeping any back for herself, but her plan was to give it all to Jesus. There was nothing to keep it in, no Tupperware, no refrigeration, and so the fragrance inside, it would not keep very long. And so Mary's offering of worship was total. We also noted that others noticed the aroma in the house, and she was even criticized for her actions. As we saw last time, we would be hard-pressed to find a more worshipful and reverent time in the Word, a more humble act of worship in all of Scripture. We can learn from Mary's worship. Does our worship even come close to hers? The heart behind the offering, the effect that our worship has on others, and sometimes even do we garner criticism for it? See, if Satan doesn't push back on what we're doing, it may be because he is not concerned or threatened by it. When he sees our worship on Sunday that does not match up with our lives the rest of the week, he's not too concerned with it. But his opposition in your life can be an indicator of being in the will of God. Now, in order to tell the difference, we've got to stay close to God, stay confessed, stay listening for God's voice to make sure the opposition in our life isn't caused by sin in our lives. We saw one response to Jesus is worship. The second was betrayal. Betrayal was the other. Betrayal is an ugly word that pictures someone who is trusted and comes and stabs you in the back for personal gain without any thought or care for your well-being. Most of us understand betrayal. This betrayal came from Judas, one of Jesus' close followers. And think about Judas for a minute, because he had been chosen by Jesus. He had shown leadership qualities. He had seen the miracles. He may have even believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but he had the wrong view of who the Messiah was. And it caused him to take matters into his own hands to try to force Jesus' hand to do what Judas wanted rather than what God had planned. And ultimately, though he knew who Jesus was, he did not have a saving relationship with him. So we've got to check our hearts to make sure that we haven't made the same mistake and try to form Jesus into something that we want him to be instead of responding to him as how he is revealed in the Word of God. Now, Jesus knew what Judas was up to, and yet he still protected him by not telling the others. They would not have allowed Judas to get away with his plan. And it's the same gracious spirit of Jesus that he forgave his murderers as he hung on the cross by his wrists and his feet. He trusted God's plan, and he was willing to die as the Savior of the world. Our passage today, we will see more responses to Jesus. But it's going to start with a prediction. Mark 14, 27, we'll start there. If you're able to stand, please do so out of respect for the Word of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Verse 32. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." He came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to answer him. And then he came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Lord, bless the reading of his word. Thank you. You can have this. So if you're keeping up with the outline on the back of your bulletin, number one right there, you'll notice Jesus makes a prediction. A prediction right there in verse 27. And this prediction, he actually quotes Zechariah 13:7. "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." So in context of Zechariah 13:7, the prophet is telling of a time of chaos and panic and testing and destruction. But in the end, the one true God is most definitely in control. He has a plan, and he will take care of his people. So, by quoting this verse, it's almost like Jesus is telling his disciples, listen, tough times are coming, but God has a plan, and he is still in control. Maybe that's the message that some of you need to hear this morning. Tough times are here, tough times are coming, but God is still in control, and he has a plan. See, God's word has many insights on how he wants us to respond in different times. Notice these verses there. I listed them on your outline. When we're broken and crushed in spirit, he tells us to come to him because he will not deny us. Psalm 51:17. Psalm 23:4, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because he is with us. Galatians 6:9, don't become weary in doing good because in God's timing the reward is coming if we don't give up. James tells us to count trials as joy. 2 Corinthians 4:16 reminds us to not lose heart. Because our light momentary affliction is working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So we see in God's word admonition after admonition, imperative after imperative. God's word instructs us to keep our eyes on Jesus, to trust him, to rest in him, and allow him to do what only he can do. Absolutely nowhere in God's word does it tell us to react like Peter did to Jesus here in Mark. We quickly go from this prediction to number two. It's pride. Pride. This was Peter's response to Jesus. Verse 27, Jesus told him again, "You're going to stumble. You're all going to stumble. I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Listen, tough times are coming, and then that just set Peter's me monster off. Notice what he says. Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter spoke more vehemently. It means showing even stronger emotion. "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. So to Jesus' prediction, Peter responds with, I. And then the others, they were like, "Yeah, us too, me too, I. You know, sometimes me monsters disguise sinful actions by trying to make them look noble, but the truth still remains. In their pride, they completely rejected the words of Jesus. The next blank on your outline. Pride does not listen to Jesus. Pride doesn't listen to Jesus. I mean, wrap your mind around that. Here is Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior and Creator of the world, told them something, and they just blew it off and completely disregarded what Jesus was telling them. Proverbs tells us that pride comes before a fall, and this is a prime example. If they just would have listened to Jesus, they would have saved a whole lot of heartache. But they rejected his prediction of their deserting him, and then they continued to ignore his instructions on what to do after his mission was complete. Verse 28, it's very clear. "After I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." It was like it was in one ear and out the other, right over their heads. They completely disregarded it. Pride doesn't listen to the words of Jesus. You know, I made a habit of saying, "Hear the word of the Lord." We can listen to it without hearing it, but man, we got to have hearts to hear the words of Jesus. Pride doesn't listen to the words. Secondly, pride doesn't stay alert to the enemy's weapons. Pride doesn't stay alert to the enemy's weapons. Verse 32, "They came to the place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed, and he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch.'" Stay here and watch. Well, so, Jesus, what are we watching for? Well, the devil is coming. Interestingly, much later in life, a wiser, seasoned, changed Peter would write this in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Now, listen, I will be the first to admit that sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is to take a nap. But there are times that God calls us to stay awake. Romans 13, 11 through 12, "It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Jesus instructed to stay here and watch, because the devil is coming. And so what did they do? They fell asleep. They fell asleep. Come back to Jesus' prayer here in just a moment. Look at verse 37. "He came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'Simon, you're sleeping. Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, he went away and prayed, spoke the same words. When he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they didn't know what to answer him. And then verse 41, he came a third time and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand.'" Now, in their defense, they were kind of set up for failure. It could have been a long day of ministry. They were probably exhausted. They had just had this really large meal. It was dark. It was quiet. I would imagine that the crickets were setting this nice, constant, calming tone through the night air. And I have no doubt that if I were there, I would have been asleep too. I'm one of those people that I can fall asleep anywhere. Anybody else? I can fall asleep. It's kind of a gift, but I can fall asleep anywhere. I know that some of you are the same way because I talk you to sleep every Sunday. I know, and that's okay. I get it. But Jesus did too. Verse 38, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus understood. Those two forces that are at war with those of us who have been born again through Christ, the spirit and the flesh. I want you to just take a look at this definition for the word spirit. It'll be up on the screen there. This is the word spirit. So it is complicated. Don't try to write it all down, okay? It's just a complicated word. I don't expect you to get it all. But the spirit, it is our heart. It is the innermost part of us. It's that deep part that we surrender to Jesus, that he breathes new life into. And in so doing, we relinquish control of all the other parts. The spirit is eternal. It's the part that listens to the voice of God through the Holy Spirit. It's the part that tries to align our lives in righteousness and holiness. And as it is transformed, our lives are transformed. It's the part that truly wants to be loyal to Jesus. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The word flesh is pretty complicated as well, but it's in contrast to the spirit. The flesh is our natural bent. It is temporal. It is only for the here and now. It's what we're born with. We sang it this morning, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. That is the flesh. It's a word that refers to the animal nature that comes complete with cravings that incite sin. And so every wrong choice, every indulgence, every addiction that we can't seem to get over, these are all our flesh. It's what we have been referring to as our me monsters for quite some time. God said this through the Apostle Paul, Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So Jesus understood the Spirit and the flesh are constantly at war within us. That's not great news. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. What are we supposed to do? It's pretty simple. The next blank's on your outline. So stop relying on the flesh. Stop relying on the flesh. Galatians 5, it goes on to list the works of the flesh. And again, these are the things that I have a natural bent to. I am automatically good at these things. Jealousy, idolatry, lust, hatred, anger, selfish ambition, pride. When I let these things have free reign, I am not staying alert to the attacks of the devil. We are busy feeding and satisfying our me monsters. These are the results. And pretty soon, they become habits, and we are relying on our flesh for everything rather than walking in the Spirit. In their pride, the disciples, they were just pampering their me monsters. I. Yeah, us too. Me. We're going to see the result. They were not ready. The flesh is weak. Stop relying on the flesh. Stop catering to your me monster. What does the Holy Spirit say to your heart when you hear that? What practical changes is he calling you to make? The flesh is weak, so stop relying on the flesh. In contrast to that, Galatians 5, it lists the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And these are all work for me. They do not come naturally at all. Now, don't get me wrong. I do not have to work for my salvation because Jesus has done everything necessary for that. But in order to battle my flesh, it takes work. I got to rely on the Spirit by staying close to Him and listening to His voice. So we see the prediction was made, pride prevailed. At least number three, the plummet of the disciples. Prediction, pride, plummet. And I hope to pick up here next week. But before we go, look again at Jesus' prayer in verses 33 through 36. It says this, Jesus began to be troubled, deeply distressed, and he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father." That's one of the closest terms that anybody can use for Father. "All things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Jesus was well aware of what was about to happen. He wasn't just facing death. He was facing a slow and painful death. Beyond the physical pain of being ripped open beyond recognition and the thorns driven into his skull and the weight of his own body resting on, hanging on those nails between his wrists and his feet. Let us not discount the physical pain, but I believe the greatest hurt for Jesus was the spiritual. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He became a curse for us. The curse of the wrath of God that we deserve. John 18:11, it speaks of Jesus drinking the cup of God's wrath. We're going to see in Mark 15:34 that he was forsaken by the Father. And so in addition to the extreme physical pain that he would endure, the weight of all the spiritual crushed him that night in the garden. And yet he prayed, "Not my will." Wonder what is your response to this broken Jesus? We will see the deepness of the betrayal in the weeks to come. The good news is, though he died, he is alive today. He offers that free gift of life to you if you don't know him. And if you do know him, he's there walking with you. Shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. We don't have to fear any evil because he is with us. In pride, and you disregard his words. What's your response? Bow our heads and close our eyes. Take a few moments. If you're here today and you need to pray, you need to pray with somebody, the altar's open. Sometimes the weight of life God saying to you? Storm, through his word, struggle. Part of your life, have you not rely? Are you not relying on Spirit? Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Walk in the Spirit. Mean that the struggles are taken away. Continue to pray right where you are.